holy science which he revered as dogma. It must be owned that his little dinners were a strong argument in favor of this view, besides being a reason, though not the main one, for the fidelity of his friends. Mentally, he exercised a hospitality less seductive but no less stimulating. His mind was like a forum, or some open meeting place for the exchange of ideas, somewhat cold and drafty, but light, spacious, and orderly. A kind of academic grove from which all the leaves had fallen. In this privileged area, a dozen of us were wont to stretch our muscles and expand our lungs, and, as if to prolong as much as possible the tradition of what we felt to be a vanishing institution, one or two neophytes were now and then added to our band. Young Phil Frenham was the last and the most interesting of these recruits, and a good example of Murchard's somewhat morbid assertion that our old friend liked him juicy. It was indeed a fact that Culwin, for all his mental dryness, specially tasted the lyric qualities in youth. As he was far too good an Epicurean to nip the flowers of soul which he gathered for his garden, his friendship was not a disintegrating influence. On the contrary, it forced the young idea to robuster bloom. And in Phil Frenham,